What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bros Before Rose. I'm Alex Toy.
I'm Alan Moss.
And it's time to get horny.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
We haven't gotten too horny yet, though.
This episode
gets a little horny.
It gets a little horny, but
you know, actually, it does get a little horny. There's a good horny moment.
There's a good horny moment. And honestly, like, who are we to say about, like, to say when people should be horny?
That's true.
I mean,
think about it. How often do men think of sex? Isn't it like every
it's
seven
often but I'm thinking more just like
sexins?
I'm thinking more just like,
see what I did it then.
I got it.
It was a joke
it.
About sex.
I was thinking more like, don't yuck somebody's yum. Maybe people are into watching men in tuxedos like roll around in cake.
It was fun. Like,
yeah.
just go face first in that sweet
yeah, which does that happen this episode?
You'll find out.
You'll
maybe
find out.
It might not.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
For the show you probably already watched.
Yes, that happens this episode.
And it's great.
And it's great. So I feel like I want to get something out of the way. This was a good episode.
This is a very, very good episode.
I was like I was very happy with this. I was like engaged in this show more than in this one episode.
Yeah.
More than I was for all of Ari's season.
They did very right by Becca already, I feel like, with all of these dates.
I think so.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get into the drama.
We'll get it because there is some drama. There is some drama.
Yeah, there's some.
There's some gritty details.
Yeah.
Let's talk about.
But I think let's talk about the thing that's like the elephant in the room.
I guess. So in between the airing of the premiere and today, there were you know, fucking BuzzFeed articles and whatnot about one of the contestants on this season, Garrett.
I think it's farther than allegations.
It's not allegations.
Confirmed.
No, it's confirmed this happened.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's absolutely confirmed that Garrett had been liking things on Instagram that are transphobic, seem to be pro school shootings, and
it was very much like pro conspiracy theories, pro like anti LGBTQ messages and things like that. And so the internet, of course, had a field day.
Yeah, everyone jumped all over it
because and bringing up a point that, you know, this is the second time in a row in The Bachelorette that we've seen a contestant get through with questionable social media activities, and I think a big point was that if people felt that Becca or any further bachelor or bachelorette should have the option to see things like this and shouldn't go into this blind.
Yeah. So there are two things I want to bring up about it. The first is, you know, a lot of people drew a lot of comparisons to Lee from last season of The Bachelorette.
Right, right.
Who tweeted a lot of racist things.
Some pretty egregious things. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous considering he was on the season starring the franchise's first African-American bachelor, or bachelorette, rather. Or lead ever.
Yeah.
Whereas Garrett, while, you know, liking things is still showing support and still being pretty bad, there's a difference between just, like, liking things and also also generating that content.
Right.
Like both are bad.
Sometimes, you know, you're on Ambien and you type things.
Yeah, and then your show gets canceled.
Right, exactly.
Also formerly on ABC. Yeah. Roseanne, not on ABC anymore. But the thing that I think we just want to discuss that happened.
Yeah.
Garrett did apologize.
Yeah, he did come out. I read a statement and I felt like it was a very heartfelt and apologetic. And he said all the right things. I mean, he hasn't shown us anything in the show to prove otherwise. And I don't know if he ever will. Maybe that is the kind of person he is. But at this moment, I mean, he came out and apologized. And I think that's says a lot about someone.
Yep.
No matter what happens to him in this show.
Yeah. And you brought it up earlier, but I saw like an interview with Becca where this was brought up, and this interview was like recent. It was around
the time it was very, very recent.
Up, and she had no idea about it. So I think it's safe to say that this really doesn't affect the season.
Yeah, and so whatever happens to Garrett on this season is what happens.
It's not. Yeah,
if he never shows anything shitty on the show, then you have that's then all right. This is your one reason to dislike him. If you don't accept his apology, I fully understand that. And
you're free
okay.
to do that.
You're
this is America.
Yeah. But I think as far as we're concerned, there's no sense in us covering it past this.
No. Unless something crops up again.
Right. If
we'll
something crops up in the
it.
Show of him being a shithead, then of course we'll be like, oh, well, yes, everyone was right. But for now, I think this is pretty much...
Not even if it shows up on the show, but I feel like we should at least address it if BuzzFeed publishes an article saying, oh, by the way, Garrett also murdered a pony.
Yeah, like, yeah. But, you know, he was also texting about how he liked the LGBTQ bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... I think this is an open and shut thing for us at this point. Like,
yep.
We opened it, now let's shut it, we're done.
All right, so I think let's get into this episode.
Hell yes, let's get into this episode.
So we begin with sort of a similar montage of Becca that we saw in the last episode.
She's certainly driving.
Well, she's not. She's lost a couple wheels, though. She's on a bike this time.
She's on a bike, a bicycle.
Yeah.
Two wheels.
Yeah, which... I just want to remind everybody that Ari was on a date with Lauren B where they rode bicycles. So this is Becca proving she can ride a bike too, motherfucker.
Look what I can do. I can do it too.
Hey, Ari, I can ride bikes.
Hey,
fuck
Ari,
you.
Hey, Ari, I can also ride bikes and not actually have conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
So it opens up. Becca's riding that lovely bike around Venice Beach. And then... The boys are back in the mansion.
Well, they never left the mansion.
That's true, but we're back in the mansion with the boys, rather.
We're back in the mansion with the boys with Dad.
And with Dad. Daddy comes out. Poppy. El Señor.
It's just good to see him.
It's just so good to see him. And they're all happy to see him. How could you not be? On that show, how could you not be?
How could you? Is Chris Harrison, and this is a thought I just had, is Chris Harrison the Don of The Bachelor?
He is the Don of that point. Yeah. Yeah, he is absolutely the Don.
I think so.
Because he's Daddy. I mean, is that bad?
I don't know.
No, because he doesn't take on so much of a fatherly figure with the men, I don't feel like.
You're right, he doesn't.
He feels like he takes more of like an I'm in charge type of thing, but not necessarily a fatherly, like, mentoring role.
Yeah.
He does with The Bachelor.
Yes.
Like, The Bachelor himself, he takes on a very mentor-esque role.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's much more protective of the women in The Bachelor.
Yeah.
What? Someone ringing the doorbell.
Oh, someone rang your doorbell. Okay, yeah. Let's pause recording for a second then. And we're back!
All right, so as I was saying, I feel like Chris Harrison is absolutely the Don, but he takes on more of that fatherly role for the women in The Bachelor.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely see that.
But anyway, Don Criscione throws down red hot date card. Not ice.
He does.
It's not cold, it's hot.
But I do also just want to bring up that he does make a pretty... great zinger in the direction of David, of being like, "I've never seen you before. Who are you?"
Oh, David. That's right. He does throw a little bit of shade at David, the chicken man.
David was the guy in the chicken suit. So Chris Harrison's like, "I've never seen you before," and David's like, "I was the guy in the chicken suit." And Chris Harrison goes, "I know who you are. Shut up.
I make all the bios. I know who you are.
Shut up, David. You're going home."
Oh, he might.
He might. Going home. He might.
Anyway,
he's too innocent looking.
He is very innocent looking. Yeah. I like David so far.
No, I like David. He's done nothing wrong. We talked about him.
He's done everything fine.
Yeah, he's been average.
Yeah, that's exactly where he's been.
Yeah.
So anyway, David reads the first card.
Yes.
And it's a group date.
Yes, it is.
It's for Clay, Nick, Chris R, David, John Blanc, Jordan, Connor, and Lincoln.
Yep.
And it says...
Pretty good group of boys.
Pretty solid group of boys.
Solid group of boys.
And it says, "I'm ready for my big day."
Well, that sounds
good. That's it.
Yeah.
She's ready. Okay.
She's ready for a big day.
It's going to be over. It's going to be over in episode one.
Season over.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, we're marrying her, guys. So
bye.
Bye. Let's see. Go home.
So the boys shuffle on.
To meet her at the Sadie Rock Ranch.
Yes, and Becca's wearing it's a white dress. I wouldn't call it a wedding dress.
No,
but it's definitely white.
Yeah.
And they enter this big room where they have just sort of tuxedos lining the wall.
Yes.
Ready for boys.
So Becca kind of preemptively tells us that she's going to pamper them a little bit, but then she's going to put them through the ringer.
I thought this was really good.
This was fun.
Well, not just that, but I thought that this would, like, this is what Becca's first date with Ari should have been.
Yeah.
Because you remember her first one-on-one date with Ari.
It was like wearing all the suit.
It was just
suit,
her...
Sorry, just wearing all dresses.
It was just her playing dress-up for him while Ari ate lobster tails.
Yes, dress for me, attractive woman.
Yeah, whereas this is... Like, they come in, and it looks like she's about to do the same thing.
Right.
But, curveball, no.
But
there's something else there's this something fucking else. Date.
But here's there's some great stuff that happens during this moment, and a lot of it is all of it. The thing is Jordan.
Oh,
I mean Jordan. Jordan, or as I like to call him, Blake, because there's a Blake and he's a good boy, but this Jordan is a.
But Jordan's Blake. Fucking Blake.
Jordan's like the negative Blake.
Yeah,
like the anti Blake.
Yeah.
So Jordan. Oh, Jordan.
Jordan.
I understand why they keep Jordan on the show, because as much as I hate you, Jordan, I hate you.
But you also love him so much.
He's so fucking entertaining.
Exactly.
He is so goddamn entertaining.
He's the worst, though.
He is absolutely the worst.
But the thing is...
So I can't tell you half the things Jordan says, because none of it makes sense. And all you're going to think of is while you're watching him is, ugh, Jordan sucks. But he has a great moment today. So they're all changing into their tuxes, and Becca's doing like, I don't want to look, but I'm totally going to look. And let's just get this out of the way. Lincoln is swole.
Lincoln
is the size of a linebacker.
She referred to him as just like a block of muscle, which really is, oh my God, that's exactly what he is.
He is humongous.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I was impressed.
Yeah.
So Becca is now surrounded by semi-naked men, which... Semi-naked boys, which sounds worse.
Yeah. Yep. I think we should use men when nudity is involved.
I thought of that. I wrote men in my thing because I'm like, boys does not sound good.
We're on a list now.
No. Sorry, I took Colombian. So Jordan. That's not his name.
Nope.
So Jordan is doing some modeling, and he's showing you some of his looks.
He's showing you his blue steel.
Yeah, he's showing you his blue steel. And then at one point, so Becca's like, you're a male model? And he's like, yeah. And so, and she goes, and he goes, she asks him, like, how did, like, you get ready? And he says, this is verbatim.
Oh, this is so good.
This is verbatim.
This is so good. She asked him for tips.
Yes. Before you put your socks on, or your pantyhose on, or your shoes even, you need to put on your confidence. Boom. That fucking pearl of wisdom from Jordan. I want to break this down. First, he said, before you put on your socks, which socks, you could have just ended at socks, but in his mind, he's thinking hashtag me too.
Hold on, girls don't wear socks. What do girls wear? Fuck.
He's like, how do I make this?
Panties? No, don't say panties. Don't say panties. Shit. That's weird. God, pantyhose. Pantyhose.
Let's say the longest, most awkward word for socks that only women wear.
Yeah, pantyhose. Great.
Generally.
Now, what's something that everyone wears so I don't sound sexist? Fuck.
Shoes.
Bras? No,
no
shoes.
Shoes. Everyone wears shoes. Okay, bring it home.
Before you put it...
Confidence.
Put on your confidence.
Put on your confidence.
Which, to be fair, that's not bad advice.
No.
It just sounds fucking ridiculous.
It sounded like it was Derek Zoolander was talking to you.
Yeah.
It honest to goodness did.
Like, it sounds like someone would put in, like, a joke fortune cookie.
Right.
And, like, fortune cookies are already silly.
Yeah, they're already ridiculous.
And I say this as an Asian man.
Yeah, I got a fortune cookie recently that just literally, like... It was hopeful. But
you don't
like,
have to get it out.
No,
this is an audio podcast.
I know, but I want to hear it. It's just, it is very possible that you will achieve greatness in your lifetime, but it's still very possible I won't.
Yeah.
Like it's building me up to have a very negative after, you know, effect possibly.
The best fortune I've ever gotten, just said, this was at a Chinese restaurant by my high school that I ate lunch at a lot my freshman year. And I opened the fortune cookie.
Want to shout it out? Get those the sponsorship dollars?
They are closed.
Never mind.
They closed. They were definitely not up to code.
Fair, yeah.
But I got a fortune cookie that said, on April 1st, your boss will give you a raise.
You got fired that day, right?
Yeah. I was also 14, so...
your boss will give you a raise.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully... That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, no, I liked it because it wasn't like sort of the bullshit Confucius say wisdom that comes out.
Your boss is going to give you a raise.
Yeah, it was just like, this is actually telling me my future.
Yeah, I like that.
It was wrong.
It was right.
But the cookie gave it a good stab, I thought.
But it had like, it was really confident about it.
Yeah, that cookie put on its confidence that morning.
Yeah, it did. It sure did. Mine didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on from Jordan. Also, did you notice that, like, in Jordan's job title, it says venture capitalist slash chicken?
Do you mean in David's?
David's, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
David's. He's called the venture capitalist slash chicken, which I just thought was, you know...
It's good.
It was a little funny.
It's good, yeah.
But anyway...
Anyway,
they go outside.
They go outside, and who's there waiting for
them? Who is there? The first special guest.
The first special guest of the episode, because it's not the only one. But the first special guest of the episode, guests, because it's two people.
It is two people.
It is.
Happily engaged people.
Happily engaged. Bachelorette success story, Rachel Lindsay and Brian Abbasolo.
Is that how you say his last name?
It's Abbasolo.
Oh, okay. I put a little. I didn't remember. I didn't remember his last name.
I put a little stank on it.
I like that. Yeah. It was nice.
But they're there.
They introduce the Groom's Day obstacle course,
which
I have a detailed thing of each thing of the
fantastic.
Obstacle course.
I want to talk about this was something similar to something that Rachel had on her season,
which is why I liked that.
This rang very similar to the obstacle course, like the fatherhood obstacle course race.
Yes,
that for some reason Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher were at.
Right, because I don't understand that one either.
Yeah, and also something to point out, and again, I fully believe that Rachel and Brian are very happy together. They didn't suck face once,
which was all I was hoping they didn't do.
I don't know. I kind of miss those sounds.
Let's move on from that. Yeah, stop. That's yep. Our tens of listeners are gonna love that. That's some ASMR for you right there, people. You gotta fucking love that. Jesus. Okay. So now, this obstacle course, moving on from that gross sound,
that's the sound of love.
Yeah, pure, unadulterated. That's raw, uncut,
that is raw,
unedited,
uncut love. Oh, God. I'm so glad we don't have any listeners.
So now, the obstacle course.
Yes.
The first part is they have to attach a medicine ball to a chain to their ankle, their ball and chain.
Yeah.
And they have to run down.
It was a hefty ball.
It was definitely a hefty. It wasn't like a little 5-pounder. It looked like it was like a big boy.
They said in the episode it was about 20, 25 pounds.
That's a big boy.
It was an estimate, but that's.
That's a big boy.
That's heavy.
So they have to run down the first path with this ball and chain, which will impede your running a lot. Next, they have to jump into an ice bath.
Yes.
Which apparently was cold as all hell.
That's what ice typically means.
Well, like, but not like, it wasn't just cold water. It was like an ice bath.
It was cold.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, you can get cold water in the sink. I'm talking like the real
shit. You're talking like 1 degree colder. Yeah. This turns solid.
Yeah, exactly. After that, after the timer runs out, they climb out and have to run up these greased up stairs.
Yep.
And then they jump off the stairs, and then they crawl under, like, so, you know, like, those army training videos where you see them crawl under the
stuff? Yeah, and they have to, like, get down.
And they have to, like, crawl over some obstacles.
Yeah.
And then have to crawl again. That's the next thing. You crawl in the dirt, and you were in the dirt, and then you have to grab a bouquet of flowers and, like, climb over these other obstacles and then go over under some more dirt.
Yep.
Drop the flowers
in the vase.
And then there's two cakes. You then have to use your face.
Not your hands.
Not your hands. They were very specific about not using hands. Use your face to dig your face into the cake and just start going, start chowing down.
Can you make
that
sound again, but closer to the microphone? Like, what does it really sound like when your face is in a cake? You're using your hands now. Our listeners can't see that. That's why they're listeners.
But it's helping my chewing sounds.
Okay.
So anyway, they go in, and then they gotta find a ring.
Okay.
And then when there's two rings, so whoever finds the two rings has to then get on their knees and then crawl.
One knee. You get on one knee.
But they have to crawl. In reality, they gotta wait on one knee. But they gotta crawl to Becca, and whoever gets their first wins.
Yep. And then they get on one knee and do a little.
And then do a whole proposal and get married.
Yeah.
But they like don't know is that it's real. So it's the end of the whole show.
The joke is that the priest standing there is actually Moe's in a costume, and they're speaking German, but he doesn't speak German. Office reference.
gotta have one episode. You have to listen, guys. If you want to go back and hear every Office episode reference, you need to listen to all of our shows played backwards, and you will hear every one.
There's an Office reference in every episode of our podcast.
Absolutely.
But you do have to play it backwards. That one was a freebie.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, America. Okay. So
It's usually just me going, Michael!
Yeah, all of our yelling, play it backwards, you're like, here, Michael!
This isn't even funny.
It is funny. I actually think, I would think if we actually could plan that all of our, every episode at some point played backwards, you heard Michael.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
That'd be good.
But anyway, it's game time. It's race time.
Yep.
It's time for these boys to compete.
Yeah. So, and keep in mind, they're still in tuxedos.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was the other thing. They had to get down and dirty in their nice clothes.
Yeah.
Which even Jordan was ready to go. He was pumped.
He had his confidence on.
Yeah, he had his confidence all the way on. Like, he was like, boy, I'm putting my confidence on one shoe at a time. Pulled my pantyhose up and I was ready to go.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about this obstacle course.
They all get off to a running start.
Yeah.
They all look like they're doing pretty good.
There are some casualties right at the beginning.
There are some people are falling over on their faces. Because if this is about
a
20-pound ball, this isn't easy to do.
Yeah.
So they get through that, and then everyone jumps into their ice baths kind of around the same time. Some people not as fast.
Yeah.
Apparently,
within a couple seconds of each other, I'd say.
So they're all kind of waiting. The one dude who is so cool is Clay.
Clay,
as we know, is a professional football player.
Yep.
He is... I'm sure Clay is used to going into an ice bath.
He says on the show he is.
Yeah, he's like,
he's like, we do this during practice all the time.
This is nothing.
Like, everyone is in the ice bath, like, shivering, be like, man, this is cold. Clay's literally in there just like with his arms folded,
I do this after getting tackled by giant people running full speed at me. This is nothing.
Clay could not have cared less.
Yeah, he looked so cool.
Yeah.
In the ice bath. Oh, I was impressed. Sure. So they're all in there. And then we see the timer's counting down, and then Lincoln jumps out first.
Yep.
To some, in a talking head, we get a little bit of disagreement from Chris R, saying that we got in the same time.
Where's my money, Denny?
Right, like he got into the ice bath. He said, we got in the same time, but I think he jumped out first. And people are already starting to accuse Lincoln of cheating.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. They were timing themselves with, like, one of those little tiny, like, hourglass things that times a minute.
Like,
one of those things you get from the dentist to make sure you're brushing long enough. Yeah. One, are all of those things, like, tuned to be the same time? Like, there's got to be a little deviation in between
Absolutely.
Models. And two, like... Really?
Really? Like, you were definitely watching his sand, bro?
Yeah.
Come on, you know that. Don't, this is already, like, they're already starting to manufacture some bullshit against Lincoln. Because I honest to goodness think people are threatened by Lincoln already.
Yeah. No,
I feel that way.
For sure.
And I'm going to get more into that as we go on here. Anyway. So, Lincoln jumps out first. He is going Superman, full on, full bore.
Oh,
he climbs up those slippery stairs. He jumps right off, and he is in the dirt, just in it to win it.
Yep.
Grabs the flowers, climbing all those obstacles, in the dirt again, going forward.
But mistake!
He doesn't drop.
It's a second office reference.
Drama!
Second office reference.
I know, I appreciated
that. Yeah.
But new drama. He drops the flowers and they don't go in the vase. And he has to run back. And everyone's catching up. They're all getting back.
They're gaining on him.
And so then he drops it in. He goes forward. And then they're at the cakes. And then everyone's just like in the cake. And then you can see like Rachel and Brian. And I forgot a key horny joke from Rachel.
Damn it.
This is my favorite Rachel joke.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah.
Are you okay if I stop here for a second?
Just bring up the horny thing.
I want to bring up the horny thing. So as they were explaining this... Rachel makes a phenomenal sex joke. So she says, all right, guys, we all know you're good with the hands, but it's all about being good with that mouth, though.
She says, what that mouth do, though.
Oh, yeah, what that mouth do, though. And I was like, Rachel, fantastic.
Very good.
Like, I was all down with the cunnilingus joke.
Yeah, for real. What that mouth do, though.
What that mouth do, though. That's a front runner for name of this episode.
Well, it was also
put your confidence on.
Yeah, it was. But What That Mouth Do Though was also a game that they played on the last season of Bachelor in Paradise.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's so funny.
It was a game where Alexis would put things in Jack Stone's mouth, and he'd have to guess what they were.
So a sex joke and also a low-key Alexis Waters joke.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Alexis apparently called the game Guess What's Going in Your Mouth. Raven was the one who called it What Dad Mouth Dudo.
Okay. I like that a lot. That's good. So they're at the cakes. And David is in the cake too, and he's going full on. He's showing his oral skills.
He's using his chompers.
He's using those chompers. And then Lincoln's in there. He pulls out a ring. David pulls out a ring at the exact same time. And then they are on the ground, just like crawling forward. Now I went back to the tape. David claims there was a little bit of a push.
Oh yeah, there
is some clear.
There's contact.
Contact, but I didn't see a blatant like.
Yeah.
Push. Like, we've definitely seen that in this before. Like, we've seen dudes go, like, get out of the way. But also, they're both crawling. Arms are moving. I don't necessarily know if it was a malicious push.
Yeah.
But it definitely rubbed David the wrong way.
We can't confirm nor deny.
Right.
But the thing is,
end of the day, like, it's also a competitive thing.
Exactly.
Like,
this is a competition. This is a high energy. This is testosterone filled. Yeah. And at the end of the day, like Lincoln is the one who like won this event, and David was so close. He's like trying to find a loophole. Like, no, I won.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Which like there's an element of
trying
like,
to make yourself
you know,
look a little better. And yeah. Talking head, whatever. It's just get past it.
Yeah. So ultimately, yeah, Lincoln does win this event. He like
and
gets
take,
on one
take,
knee.
Gets on one knee. Pekka accepts his proposal. It was lovely. They get some smooches in.
There's some smooches.
That was nice.
Photographer appears out of nowhere and takes pictures.
And they take a lovely picture. He's covered in mud and everything. And
Pekka
like
looks wonderful.
Pekka looks wonderful. So that was the niche. That was the competition.
That was the competition, yeah.
So that then moves them to the
I was hoping we'd see more clay.
I was too.
Yeah.
I was really hoping we'd see more clay. There's a lot of people I wish we'd see more of in this show sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that moves them to the after party.
Yep.
And so at the after party, everyone's, you know, pretty stoked. Pekka walks in looking gorgeous.
Yeah. She was looking good. Her hair was like straight. Like she looked really good.
Looked real good.
It was like, it was a new look for her. Like we hadn't seen this look.
Exactly. I appreciated that about her.
Yeah.
And then Lincoln steals her away. Right away.
Immediately
steals her away. And I think we all know that there's a pro. There's a pro and a con. The pro is that like you're coming off of a win, get it out of the way now. You know, like again, play the game.
Yeah.
Which Lincoln did. He played the game. He's getting his time.
Yeah.
And I think it was. I would have maybe had an issue with it. I'd been like, I wish it was me. But like,
I would have taken. Here's the thing.
I think the dudes got a little too. Bro-y about.
Yeah, I think people got a little too riled up about it, especially since, and this wasn't like indicated at any point, but typically in this franchise, when there is like a competitive event, whoever
the winner gets the first moment.
Not just the winner gets the first moment, but they do traditionally get a little extra time with the bachelor or bachelorette.
Right. Yeah. That's always been my case too. Yeah.
So what Lincoln did is he took that time.
Yeah.
Which I think he
albeit
deserved.
Mildly forcefully, but he definitely deserved
it. He definitely
deserved
it,
I felt that way too. He won. I mean, he won. And no matter if you're going to bring in a little bit of contention over some bullshit, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the bullshit is that, like, people are getting a little more mad than they need to be about stuff.
And this is a competition. It's also really the first, like, week. So things are high stakes, but they shouldn't be at this point.
No, right, and that's what's weird.
Yeah,
and I wrote the bros are getting angsty.
They're throwing down like week five drama, and it's week two.
Yeah, dude. So in the middle of this, we get the second date card. Do we want to finish the date and then talk about the date card?
Yeah, I like to discuss the dates like sort of discreetly.
Okay.
You know?
That's fine.
I just wanted to. The episode bounces around.
I have everything like. Mapped out
in order,
just in order of how it happens when I'm watching it.
That's fair.
Lincoln's convo goes really, really well.
Goes really well. Becca has a little gift for him.
Yes, she gives him a picture of them, like the picture they took that day.
Yep.
Of them after he had won, and it's in like a nice frame.
And
everything.
It's framed. It's nice. It was really sweet.
It was a really sweet little thing.
Yeah.
And so he gets a really nice smooch.
Yep, they get some good smooch.
And then he walks back in, and of course, he's happy.
He's happy.
And okay, I'm
why shouldn't he be?
I'm gonna give and take a little bit from Lincoln here in this moment.
Yeah.
Because I think he has the absolute right to be happy.
Yeah.
But I think we stumble on here to some things that feel. I'm not trying to like cause a ruckus here or stir the pot too much.
Yeah.
It just feels worse because he's African American and he's getting bullied by a bunch of white dudes.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like like he gets hella bullied by like a bunch of, you know, fucking privileged white dudes.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
Like
cuz the thing is like let's ignore race for a second. I think that watching this episode, I don't think Lincoln did anything wrong. Could he?
Exactly.
Could he
do anything wrong?
Could he have been a little more respectful? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Does he have to be? No. He doesn't know these people yet. They haven't necessarily earned his respect, and vice versa.
Right.
Like, these people aren't friends yet.
Right, this is a moment for him to build maybe a bit more respect, show a little more humbleness, which he doesn't have
to do. He doesn't have to do that.
So I totally sympathize with him in I'm saying, like, I would be as happy as he was after winning. And so he's, like,
oh my
bragging.
God, yeah.
He's bragging a bit, and he's like, look at my picture, I'm so happy. Oh, look at my wife. He's like kissing the photo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I probably do something similar. Yeah. I'd be stoked. I won and I got a nice picture. Like, and I'm making a good connection with a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be over
excited.
The moon.
Yeah.
And then, like, Connor is, like, just not having. He's, like, putting the picture down. He's like, where are we going to look at that, bro? Like, what's this? Like, he's clearly like, still pissed off that he didn't win.
And Lincoln even points out, the picture's not even facing you. It's at the other end of
the
table.
It's at the other end of the table, dude.
Like, it's not facing you. This isn't, like...
Right, and so we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah.
So in the midst of this, there's no other... There's one other one that really stands out of an interaction that they show.
Sure.
Jean Blanc, who I just start writing JB because I don't want to write Jean Blanc.
Yeah, it's a long name.
JB... gets some smooches in Rebecca after having a nice little moment with her.
Yeah.
I think you were right that maybe we were sleeping on his stupid job title a little too much.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't done anything to make him a douche.
Yeah.
He seemed to have a nice conversation with her.
Yeah.
And that went really well. Got some smooches.
He did.
Smooches are always good.
It's true.
Lincoln then after the... So this is what happens.
Yes.
After that happens, Connor gets real shitty. And he keeps pushing the picture down, and then he picks it up and throws it like next to the couch.
Yeah.
And then like Lincoln, of course, like stands up and like gets it and puts it back, and then goes, "No, bro, no way, man." And he like pushes it down. He goes outside and he chucks it off of a balcony.
Yep.
He chucks the picture off the balcony into a pool like a fucking child.
Yeah.
Like a bully, dude.
Yeah.
Like a fucking bully.
This is literally something that happened between Joey Wheeler and Yugi Moto in the first episode of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, dude!
Joey takes a piece of the Millennium Puzzle because he's so mad at Yugi just because he's an asshole and throws it in the pool at their school. This is literally textbook bullying.
Before they become best friends.
It's before they become best. Are Lincoln and Connor going to become best friends? Probably not.
Not
is Lincoln potentially the king of games? Maybe. I've been watching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Lately.
I saw it. You even posted it on your Instagram. It's you and Caitlin
and Jacob. Yeah. I'm gonna start referring to Lincoln as the King of Games.
The King of Games. I think it's fair.
We've had Becca the Destroyer. Now we have Lincoln the King
of Games.
Games.
I like it. So Lincoln tells her, "Is like so," and he definitely leaves out a little bit because I understand him not necessarily thinking he did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because I probably would also think the same thing.
Everything Lincoln did in this bit right here is what I think the average person would have done in this situation.
Yeah, he goes like, "Hey, so I want to let you know what happened.
Yeah,
Connor did this, and I feel like I feel very threatened, and I feel this way and that way."
Yep.
And like, I also want to point out that when Connor did that, like Jordan is like laughing in the back, like a fucking like little kid, like. And so many people are like laughing at this. I'm like, this isn't good, dude.
Is Jordan the, like, Tristan Taylor to Connor's Joey Wheeler?
But you see what I'm saying though. Like, yes. This is shitty behavior. This is really shitty.
This is bullying. This is
shitty alpha male behavior, and I can't call it racist.
Because we don't know if it had anything to
exactly.
do with race.
But it feels so much shittier.
Yeah, you can look at it as two white men picking on a black man.
Yeah.
You can look at it that way. does this has it have anything to do with race? We can't.
There's nothing in the show showing that. There's
nothing to say that.
Exactly. So I don't want to make that. I don't want to cast those dispersions. Yeah. I just want to say that's what made me feel worse about
sure.
it. So he addresses that with Becca and says, Becca, like, this is what happened, and I feel like this and that. And she goes, well, I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah.
And like a fucking adult.
Yeah. This is, after the shit with Chris R. and Chase last episode, just like, this is another fantastic moment for Becca
Just like puts her foot down. Just so Becca like immediately goes right to Connor, and Connor's like, I can't believe he's just gonna like tattle on me. I'm like, of course he is, you dipshit. I would too.
You're 30 years old and you just took a man's property and threw it in water.
Like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
You acted like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
So she goes to him and they kind of like start talking a little bit, and it seems like she's about to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
And she does, but the one thing that I loved about this is that she just goes, look, I just don't want to deal with any bullshit.
Yeah.
Like that was her actual word. She's like, I don't want to deal with this bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm cutting off of the head right now. Don't want to deal with it. I don't like this, and I don't think this is way too early for you to be acting like this, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, you go, girl.
Becca is squashing drama.
I appreciate that. She squashed that drama real quick.
I am here for it.
Yeah.
Especially after just that entire season of Crystal.
Yeah. Becca squashes it real quick.
Yep.
Gets back, and then Jean Blanc gets the GDR, Group Date Rose.
Nice.
Which I was stoked for him. Good job, him.
Yeah.
Lincoln feels like it cost him that whole shit with Connor, kind of cost him his.
I think, I agree.
His first impression. But nothing in there makes me think less of Lincoln.
I don't think less of Lincoln.
I don't think Becca would think less of Lincoln.
I think even higher of Becca, because regardless of whether or not Lincoln was right or Connor was right, Becca's not going to reward drama.
Exactly. And I don't think Lincoln was trying to find drama.
No, I don't think he was. I think he may have been a little too boastful.
But did he
deserve to be boastful in this situation?
Who was the dude that was like, fill my goblet?
Josiah.
And didn't he go like, I probably should have done it.
Yeah.
Later on. Like, and probably that's the thing Lincoln will say. I probably should have done that. But at least I didn't jump up and grab someone's property and throw it like a fucking 5-year-old.
Everyone else in that scene with Josiah last year, it was just like, hey, Josiah's kind of being a dick.
Yeah.
And that was the extent of it.
Yeah, that's all that needed to happen.
That was the extent of it.
So after that, we open actually back up at the mansion, and this is kind of like a little like ending to this. Like Lincoln's talking to some of the other dudes, and some of the other dudes are like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have bragged so much, but like no one should put their hands on your property.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but here's the one thing I fucking didn't like.
Hit me.
So he's talking, he starts crying. Which I don't know if I would cry in that situation, but like But if something that like meant a lot to me was destroyed by like that, I would feel that way probably.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's fair to have like an emotional reaction here. Cause like,
and so I think Jason is talking to Jordan. I think it's Jason.
Jason. There is a Jason, yes.
I think it's Jason. He's talking to Jordan later on, like in that day, like telling him that like he cried, and they're like, why is he crying? And they start making fun of his accent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is still fucking bullying.
This is bad.
Like, man, like, you are two shitheads for making fun of this dude.
Absolutely.
It just, like, that was, made me very upset.
Yeah, no, it was bad.
Yeah. But here's some real fun bullshit from Jordan. He's saying that he's not genuine, and Jordan makes up a word.
Oh, yes.
And Jordan makes up a word and says it, and I think you can see Jason doesn't want to correct him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he definitely has a moment like, that's not a word.
Yeah.
And it will come up. This will come up a second time.
Yep, it will.
He makes a word and he calls it ingenuity.
Yep.
I'm seeing his ingenuity. And I'm like, I had to stop. I'm like, did he say ingenuity? And yes, he fucking did.
Oh, so good.
So he's the worst.
Jordan is the worst. But again, you want to see him though.
I do.
I said it while I said it while we're watching this episode. Just, oh, Jordan, can't wait to see you on BIP.
Oh, just, my God, yeah.
You know Jordan's going to be on BIP.
Unless he says something racist, he's going to be on BIP. Yeah,
even if he does.
Yeah, he probably still will. So that's the end of that chapter.
Yep.
And in the midst of that, we did see our next
first
rose.
One-on-one.
First one-on-one date rose. And so as that came in, Ryan read for Blake.
God, Ryan, who just in two episodes, not enough screen time.
Not enough screen time.
For that good banjo boy.
Not enough screen
time. Not enough screen time.
Blake, let's lose control.
Blake.
Blake. Although, nothing against Blake.
Nothing against Blake.
That's just a great, so, this is a great comedic reference that we're doing from a show.
So Blake and Becca enter a limo, and Blake points out this is actually his first time in the limo.
Yes.
Because he came in on the ox.
Right.
So he didn't have...
Oh, that's Blake. That's right.
Yeah, he came in on the ox, so he didn't actually get out of the limo.
He doesn't make any animal puns.
No, he doesn't.
Which was good.
And then Blake is just saying, hey, what are we doing? And Becca says something that she says words that I think should be said at the beginning of every date that humans ever have. Right. And it's, I don't know what we're doing. Chris Harrison is in control of this one.
That is very good. I don't know. Chris Harrison is in control of my daily life.
Yeah.
I want Chris Harrison to be in control of my daily life.
That's why I keep applying to be on this show.
Did you apply again?
I didn't apply this year.
Okay, we need to make you like a really good video.
Yeah, I need a green screen.
Yeah.
I have plans.
Oh, my God.
I have
God.
Plans for my Bachelorette audition tape.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
I have plans.
I want to see that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, this is something that we'll talk about later.
We'll talk about this at
a
later date.
We'll also make this a Patreon,
absolutely.
Event.
Yeah.
Fund Alex's Bachelorette audition tape. But anyway.
Yeah.
So they are in this limo.
Yep.
And they are going to a bit more of, using their words, dingy part of California.
Sure.
And they're outside of like a factory surrounded by barbed wire fencing.
Yep.
So it definitely doesn't look, you know, great.
But would Chris Harrison send you anywhere that
no,
or
he
you would
never,
be unsafe?
No, absolutely
no.
not.
No. Have a little faith in the Harrison.
So Poppy, the Don, is standing out there with a sledgehammer, which is ominous.
Which is also how every date should start.
Yeah. And he goes, all right, guys, here's what you're doing. You're going to put on these. And they put on these jumpsuits.
And he pulls a sheet.
Yes.
Unveiling jumpsuits.
Yes. And they put on jumpsuits.
Jumpsuits that Blake referred to as a onesie.
As a onesie. They put on helmets and they take sledgehammers.
Yep.
I have kind of already figured out what this is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I think most of the audience has. But what they don't figure out is that there is going to be the greatest, best fucking guest star on this fucking show that I've ever seen.
And here's the thing.
Who made no sense
exactly.
to be there.
He didn't need to be there.
This guy did
this
not need to be there.
Would have been fun without him. But with him there, it is infinitely better.
So they walk in, and they're looking. There's all of this shit all littered throughout this warehouse.
There's a race car.
Everything is Ari themed.
There's the race car. There's the literal couch that Ari dumped Becca on.
There's the TVs showing Ari like proposing to Becca.
Yeah.
And
who's standing
coming
there?
Out of the shadows?
Oh, you take this.
Is Lil Jon. And I went, I remember, is that fucking Lil Jon? And I remembered saying to myself as well, can you name 5 songs by Lil Jon that he's not just featured on?
No.
He doesn't actually have music, does he? And he's this fucking famous. And the Basher was like, look, we're going to bring these guys in here into this warehouse. We're going to fill it with all this shit. But you know who's going to be there? Lil Jon.
Do you think this was another situation?
Who's the genius producer that thought Lil Jon is the guy?
But here's the thing. Is this another situation like we had with Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher of just they're famous and they want to be on The Bachelor?
I hope Lil Jon was like, this is going to be a classic Lil Jon joke. Lil Jon, you call us? Did you want to be on The Bachelor? Yeah! Great.
Can you show tomorrow? Okay!
Can you bring some of your music? What? Can you bring some of your music? What? Your music. What? Your music? Okay! Like, that's how I imagine, I absolutely imagine that conversation.
Yeah. But he's there, And Becca and Blake get to destroy him while
they're in an anger room. The Bachelor, and the minute I saw this, I'm like, this is the best fucking one-on-one date.
And they
put them in an anger room.
They put them in an anger room with shit from Becca's past.
Right. And then they go, all right, kids, go ham.
Yeah.
And
And okay. Lil Jon gets behind the fucking DJ booth.
And they just start bumping Turn Down For What.
And it's... I was in awe this whole date. Because this was the best one-on-one date that I have ever
seen.
It was
so good. And it would have been great without Lil Jon. But he made it so
But they had Lil Jon!
They had Lil Jon!
And he, and they're smashing TVs in this awful fucking couch. Turned out for what? Yeah. And they're like, and they're destroying this car. And it was so much fun just to watch.
Yeah, I'm like, this is, and if no one knows what an anger room is, they've actually become pretty popular in the past couple of years.
We should 100% go to one.
Oh, fuck yeah, we'd have so much fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, you pay a fee, and then you pay for, like, breakable objects that they have had donated to them, and then you go into this room, and you just break it. They give you baseball bats, they give you other shit, and you get to just fucking go ham, break plates, break TVs,
yeah,
break printers, like, do the classic Office Space thing.
Yeah.
With stomping on this, on the printer. Like, and I think anger rooms are genius.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what they do here, and it is so much fun
to
watch.
It's so good.
There are these hanging, like, little hearts and stuff that, like, you smash and, like, colors come out of them.
Yeah.
And, like, they're throwing up bottles and hitting them with baseball bats.
Yep.
This looked like the most fucking fun date,
yeah,
ever. And you know what? Because it's not a typical date. It was
We had a whole season.
Outside the box.
We had a whole season with Ari and his one-on-one dates where half of them were just walking around.
Yeah, and this is action. It's fun.
This is something.
Yeah, this is so
fun.
It's
a thing. Like, it was fun to watch, and you know it was fun to be on.
Yeah,
like,
this was definitely... You could tell they had legitimate fun doing
yeah.
this.
Yeah. And then we cut away to Lil Jon in his DJ booth, and he slides up
the Bachelor music.
The Bachelor music.
Which I love. I love that little bit, yeah, that little flavor. And so they're sitting there, they're like, oh,
sorry,
I
have such a fun time. The flavor of love?
They're connected. Oh my God. It's all one.
We're coming back for you, Flavor Flav. But so, in like 9 weeks.
Yeah, you gotta wait. Your time's coming.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So they're sitting on another couch.
Yep.
Drinking a little champagne, saying, like, that was so much fun. They clink their glasses. I'll see you tonight. They throw them behind him. And then...
Beautiful moment.
I did love that. What night? It's like, yeah. Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
At one point, Lil Jon also does almost get hit by a pillow that is being thrown around. Which was funny. So after that, let's see here. Becca and Blake meet for dinner.
Yep.
It didn't
know
look
how
like,
one-on-ones work.
Yeah, it didn't look like there was anything too special
no.
of the place. They didn't really show much. They meet for dinner. They don't... Typically, they don't eat.
Yep.
Ari did. He broke the mold there.
Yeah.
But anyway...
He broke the mold in a couple ways.
Yeah. Blake starts off with a conversation. He starts letting himself be vulnerable right away. And again, this... Remember what I said last episode? This is playing the game, but it's also, you know, opening yourself up to this. He's not doing anything wrong.
No.
He is playing the game by being open, which is not necessarily that easy this quickly in a relationship.
No.
He understands he needs to be this open
yep.
very quickly.
How the show works.
Exactly. So he opens up right away, and he's being very vulnerable with her and talks about a relationship that he had had that he kind of got his heart broken. Not kind of, he did.
He did.
He got his heart broken. And he said, he looked at himself and he said, you know, I'm not going to let this define me, and I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to still, mm-hmm. I still believe in love, and I still believe in, you know, relationships.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, you know, really beautiful. And
yeah.
And Becca responds very, very well to it.
Yep. There's some magic rose getting words.
There's some magic. Yeah. She gets that. That's really the crux of the conversation. Becca really responds well to him, gives him a rose. They smooch a lot in there, and then they smooch a lot outside. There's
yep.
no real after scene, like
yeah.
kind of like dancing. You know, sometimes they bring in a music. They'd already brought in a musical artist, and you actually know who he is.
Yeah, you actually know who he was.
Yeah,
for the
this
first
wasn't
time.
A musical
yeah.
artist you've never heard of.
Yeah,
that are serenading them randomly.
Mm-hmm.
After that smooch, that's basically the end of
that's
Blake's
the end
date.
Of that date. So now we have another group date.
Yes, the third group date. Sorry, the third
date
card,
second
group date. So we're only having one one-on-one this week.
Yep.
John Blanc reads, and it's for Garrett, Ricky. John. I think I wrote John. John.
Is yes. there a John?
There's a John. He's the Asian man.
Yes, there is.
Asian man. Brian, Alex, Chris, Trent, Leo, Wills, Colton, and Ryan. Love.
There's a Brian?
There's a no, Ryan.
Well, you said Brian.
Did I say Brian?
Yeah, this guy.
This is going, no, that's not Brian. Is there a Brian?
You said Brian. Is there a Brian on this season? I think
there's a Brian on this season. Holy shit.
This is the part of the season where we're not familiar with every contestant.
Yeah, we have to get a little like forgiveness for this one because there's a lot of boys. They're going to be making their way off this show pretty quick.
Yeah.
Some of these boys, I'm recognizing their names. They got kicked off like pretty early. I don't know, remember who, but one of like they get kicked off.
Well, and they can't get kicked off before this date.
No. I mean, but like at the end, like
yeah, we'll lose some people from this date. Yeah.
And the first date.
Yeah. Not Blake though.
Not Blake though, or Jean Blanc.
Or Jean Blanc.
So love comes at you hard and fast.
Yeah.
That's what says on the card.
Yep.
And two people didn't get date cards. I think it was Mike and Jason.
And Jason.
I think that was.
I know Mike didn't because it was a long haired boy that wasn't Leo.
That's Mike. And Jason is the other one, the one that was making fun of Lincoln for crying.
Yes,
that's that boy.
Yep.
So anyway, there's that. That happens in the middle of the date. So we're just gonna skip to the second group date. Second group date, they come out of the house. Yep. And there is a school bus. They're going to school. Going to
school. School time.
Life comes at you fast. That's a reference from a movie.
It's a Ferris Bueller.
Yes, it is a Ferris Bueller.
It's a Ferris Bueller. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway.
I've seen that film.
It's a great film.
It's good.
It's great.
It's overrated.
Okay. This is a Bachelor podcast, not an Alan's rant about why Ferris Bueller's amazing.
It's a good movie. Podcast. It's not the best movie ever made. Like,
okay, we're gonna talk about this after this.
Hey, here's a great drinking game. Open a high school yearbook and do a shot every time you see the life comes at you fast quote. You'll be dead.
But there's so much more to it. No, okay. I'm not getting into this. They get on a school bus and they meet back at a school gym.
Yep.
And when they walk in, immediately pelted by dodgeballs.
Yep.
Which I love because I didn't watch this episode the night of. I watched it today.
Yeah.
Which is Tuesday. I watched it today. And last night I was at my dodgeball playoffs. So while I'm at my dodgeball playoffs, there was a dodgeball date going on and I fucking loved that.
Yep.
So they get pelted by dodgeballs. And there's these three middle schoolers, maybe elementary schoolers. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to judge. I shouldn't assume. It's 2018.
Yeah. Did you just assume their age?
Yeah. Don't assume their grade level.
Yeah.
So they get pelted by dodgeballs.
Yeah.
And I love that Leo jumps in. He's like, whoo. He's like, what up?
Leo's in it.
Yeah. Leo's ready to go.
Yeah.
Leo's a dodgeball boy.
Yeah.
So, let's see.
And these kids are mean.
Yes. So these kids, they're like, all right, you guys want to fight Rebecca's love? All right, start doing some suicides. Let's do some suicides. And they're like blowing their whistle. They're making them do suicides. They're shooting, they're throwing dodgeballs.
They're throwing dodgeballs like, it's going 50 miles an hour.
And they literally do a dodgeball where they put it in one of those ball launchers. Yeah. They're like, this one's coming 50 miles an hour. Catch it. Boom. And they're like shooting dodgeballs at these people.
Let me say this though. I like I get they're going, they did like the school motif here. But after like Lil Jon and after Rachel and Brian, I was a little disappointed that like they didn't get Rip Torn to be Patches O'Houlihan for this.
I would have loved that.
You know, like they like.
Yeah, he just like, Rip Torn just rolls in.
Just, you don't have
rolls it. In on his on the.
Or just like, he doesn't even need the motor wheelchair. Just like have Rip Torn show. Just what? Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
All right, where's my paycheck?
Yeah. Like the kids were fun. I get it, but in just this episode that had so many great like. Special guests and cameos. This is another area
where we could have had one in this part of
we
it.
We could have, I feel like you're going to have a dodgeball date and you're not going to bring in someone from that film.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, we'll talk.
They do well.
We'll talk about this.
So, I love that the men were all like, man, these kids are scared. But that little girl's terrifying, man. And she was like in their faces. You better do that. You better. I was like, you go, girl. You tell them. What to do.
She was ripping them apart.
You run. You run the team on these boys.
Yeah.
So after they have their fun dodgeball time, Becca comes and tells them, "Tonight we're gonna have ultimate dodgeball championships. You're gonna be in front of a bunch of people. Get ready." And I was like, "This is fucking awesome.
This is phenomenal.
This is a great fucking date. I wanted to be on this date so bad, especially because I'm a dodgeball boy now.
Yeah.
Dodgeball is phenomenal. And they were using the red rubber, the rubber balls, by the way. And I will say, from personal experience, as an adult, in an adult dodgeball league, that shit hurts.
It hurts.
It's amazing.
But they're better.
It's better. It's so much fun, guys.
I played with red rubber balls when I was a kid. It's just better. Yeah. Hey, you get hurt, but like, so, it also creates a sense of danger. You don't want to get
absolutely
hit. Like, you're not fucking around with that red rubber ball.
Exactly. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, while Alex noted, we didn't necessarily get the...
We didn't get the guest that we expected.
But we definitely got one we deserved.
I think, yeah.
Coming back for his second season.
Second season on this fucking franchise.
Fred Willard is there announcing with Chris Harrison the dodgeball championship.
And again,
Willard brings it.
He brings it. But this is also, like, we couldn't get Gary Cole or Jason Bateman to play Cotton and Pat. Like, I have made so many dodgeball references in this podcast.
Yeah,
just it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see how it plays off. Like I have said that so many times.
Yeah, he's gonna not want that to happen.
Okay, fine. Jason Bateman's busy with Arrested Development. Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I haven't seen Gary Cole in anything in a while.
Fred Willard tells a great story right at the beginning.
Oh my God, yes.
Fred Willard goes, you know, I don't know much about dodgeball, but I did spend a week in a nudist colony. And we played beach volleyball. And there were balls flying everywhere. And I was like, Fred Willard, this is the shit I come to the show for.
And that, like, he topped his weird doggy style joke from last time.
Yeah, yeah. He just, like, Fred Willard absolutely embodies the old man who just tells these funny stories.
Yeah.
You know?
He was great. I really loved him. I wish we'd gotten an actual dodgeball reference to like, the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, hey, whatever. Like,
Dodgeball reference I think that we kind of got without getting it is them shooting the dodgeballs and them getting hit by them.
Yeah.
Which is what happened
Dodgeball. Yeah, it happens. But, like, whatever.
Maybe they didn't get any rights or something.
Yeah, I know.
Something probably
didn't. I know. Like, there's reasons for it.
But anyway, so they're split off into two teams, the green and the pink team. And the green team just is dominating. Okay, the green team. I think it's a best of three match. What are you looking at?
I was just making sure Rip Torn was still alive.
No, he's definitely still alive.
Okay, yeah,
definitely still alive.
I was just making sure he's still alive.
I'm glad that we've had this confirmed.
Yeah,
Rip Torn is alive, confirmed.
After 2016, I'm really uncertain of any celebrities.
That's fair. No, that's really fair, and I think it's good that we checked.
Yeah,
you're welcome, America.
He's going to die tomorrow just because I did that. And now I feel bad.
You heard it here, folks. We killed Fred Willard. Rip Torn and Fred Willard now!
Now we've killed Fred Willard. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, God. We've been responsible for way too many celebrity deaths on this show.
Yeah.
So anyway, green team versus the pink team. The green team is dominating. But let me tell you. Oh, they're on trampolines, by the way, while they're doing this dodgeball stuff.
We didn't bring that up.
It's sweet. This is some fun dodgeballing that's going on
here. Yes.
But let's see here. So Leo is a dodgeballing boy.
Leo is the fucking MVP of this whole date.
He's just chucking dodgeballs. His hair's flying everywhere. He's putting it back in a man bun.
He's like doing flips. He's a stuntman. So like this isn't outside of his
wheelhouse. Leo's like, I got the most heart. I am out here. Yes, you do, Leo. You're great.
He even said, the other team, they've got guts, but I've got the most heart.
And I was like,
"Oh, Leo,
you're doing such a good job."
God, take me to Atlantis.
Yeah. So the green team ends up winning two out of three.
Now tell me this: did the winning team get to go and spend extra time with Becca? Just the winning team?
No.
No. Wow.
They both had to.
They both
after Leo cried about it.
Did somebody get really upset and throw a bitch fit on a bus?
No, that actually didn't happen. No one made fun of Becca on the way to the after party, and everyone was okay and acted like adults.
Wow,
Crystal.
It's so weird.
Oh wait, so is that who we were talking about?
What? No.
Yes.
No, not at all.
So anyway, they come back. They make one little joke. Is everyone okay if we put the trophy here? No one's gonna freak out.
Yeah.
All right, good. Like, and I was like, oh, yes, throw that shade.
Yeah, really? No one's going to throw this into the pool?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's some real shade you're throwing right there. Appreciate it, though. So everything seems like it's going well. There's no real drama going on.
No.
Everyone's having their good moments. There's smooches going around.
This is what a group date should look like.
But.
Until.
Colton. Ready to drop some D-R-A-M-A drama.
So we'll talk about this.
Which
this feels like a weird time to bring this up. For Colton, not for us in this podcast.
Yes, for Colton.
This feels like a weird time to bring it up. This feels like cocktail party material.
Yeah, this is a cocktail party thing.
Yeah, this feels like cocktail party material.
But I mean, I respect for being honest.
Yep. So Colton,
which you don't see a lot of people do. And
no.
He came out trying. I understand wanting to try to come out ahead of something.
Yeah. No, he definitely, because he said, like, I want to get this out. And he, but like, it's not like he hasn't had an opportunity until now. Let's say, like, Colton does event. He pulls Becca aside and they sit down.
Well, first he pulls Garrett aside.
All right, yes. He pulls Garrett aside. And they discuss.
And he tells Garrett, he's like, so, I don't know why, but why pick Garrett? I just don't understand. I understand, like, why do you, how do these people pick the people that they trust to tell these, like, secrets?
I mean, these people have already been living together for an amount of time.
Enough time where you could feel maybe comfortable enough to talk to this
person.
Yeah,
I don't think, I think, you know, Chris R. pulling whoever he pulled aside last week to tell them about Chase, that's a little out of left
field.
That's
a little
weird.
Field. But they've been with a week now, so maybe
yeah,
he feels
they've been together
with
a week now, so maybe. So I feel like it's entirely possible that he could have like
a bit of a friendship,
the beginnings of a friendship
with Garrett. Yeah,
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
So he pulls Garrett aside and he tells Garrett that he has something to tell Becca, and he wants to tell her. And he wants to be honest with her, but he's worried of the effects it might have.
Yeah.
And the thing is that before he was on The Bachelorette, he had had a short relationship with Tia,
yep,
a former contestant on The Bachelor and
yep,
friend of Becca.
Yep. And let's be real, front runner for The Bachelorette.
Front runner for The Bachelorette, absolutely. So Garrett's like, okay, what do you think is going to happen? He's like, well, either she takes it really well or she doesn't and I'm kicked off the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like I should
tell her.
Those
are really your options.
Yeah. but I feel like I should tell her and I should be honest.
Yeah. And which he should.
Which I agree with. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But he's hoping that Becca does takes the news better than he would think.
Yeah.
So he pulls Becca aside and they're sitting down and he just kind of comes right out and says it and tells her, like, look, I dated Tia before this, and I wanted to let you know. I wanted to be honest with you because that's important to me.
Yep.
And which is, he's all saying the right things.
Yeah.
But Becca clearly isn't very stoked about it.
Yeah.
I
think that, I maintain, I don't think Colton did anything wrong here.
No, I don't think he did anything wrong.
I do feel the timing was weird. I feel like this was cocktail party material. But also, I also understand wanting to get it out, because cocktail party is, like, right before the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
So if he had told her at the cocktail party, Becca may have made like a quicker reaction, had a quicker reaction, and
she
would have been in more danger.
She has more time to stew.
Yeah,
on
he may have been in more danger at the cocktail party. He may have played this a little bit.
Right. I think it's a fair
yeah
assessment. So she doesn't respond.
There's a lot of moving parts.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
She responds, doesn't respond to the great of this, and she says, I have to think about this a lot, and clearly Colton feels, you know, not too great about it.
Yeah.
But her and Wills have a very nice back and forth at one point, too.
Yeah.
And Wills gets some serious smooches.
Yep.
And after all of those, we don't really see anything else that's noteworthy. So Wills gets the GDR.
Yeah, he does.
And that's the end of that date.
That's the end of that date.
Nice.
Yeah.
So then it's just about cocktail party time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say. Are we happy? Good to move on to cocktail party?
Let's move on to the cocktail
party. Cocktail party. Okay, so it's cocktail party time. You know, Chris Harrison runs, are you ready for this, Becca? Becca's like, you know, she seems like she's ready. She doesn't want to deal with all this drama. She's
yep
already, she's feeling a little surprised that there's this much drama week two. Like, that's surprising her.
Yeah, and
that's surprising
that
all of us, too. Like, this isn't supposed to happen
yeah
like week two.
There is this is a lot for week two.
So we start off in the cocktail party with a very good moment.
Yes.
This is a solid cocktail party moment. Clay, who I am really loving Clay.
I'm loving Clay.
Loving Clay. Clay brings her out to the front of the mansion.
Yep.
I think it's the front. I'm assuming it's the front.
Yeah,
because the pool is the back.
The pool is the back.
It was not the pool. He brings her out to the front of the mansion, and he goes, you know, after you ran or did whatever today, or before you didn't get to like do your celebration.
So oh, this was so
work,
good.
In my line of work, you have to do a celebration when you score.
This so was I'm gonna teach so
her.
Good.
So he teaches her a touchdown celebration.
And because he
and
yes.
they do the floss or the backpack kid, whichever one you want to call it.
Sure.
So they both do that together, and he's like, yeah. do you know how to do this? Okay, now slap her two hands, and then we usually headbutt. But we're not going to headbutt because we wear helmets.
We wear helmets. So we're just going to like have to get kind of close.
Which she was like, I get what you're doing.
Like,
and it was very cute.
He's setting himself up for a smooch.
And it was very
cute. And it's so awkward, but it's so cute.
It comes off so endearing.
And I love
it. Because what comes off so nice about Clay is he feels so genuine.
He does.
Like such a genuinely sweet person.
Yes.
So love that about Clay.
Yeah.
So they do the floss. They do the thing, and then they go in right for
they
a
go
smooch.
Right for the
they
smooch.
They go right for the smooch.
This
and
made
it was
me
a nice
so happy.
Smooch.
Yeah, it was
very
a,
nice.
It
smooch.
Was like it was the most wholesome smooch.
Yeah, it was great.
It was so good.
So then we're continuing the conversations. We're continuing these conversations. I think Colton already have his conversation with Becca?
Already? They do speak his
second. I know, but I wasn't sure if it's before a Jordan incident or after a
Jordan
incident.
I don't remember. It's probably before. The Jordan incident was kind of towards the end.
Yeah. So it's before Jordan incident. He kind of re-talks about this again with Becca, saying like, look, I'm here for you. This isn't, you know, I wanted to be honest with you. And I felt that about him.
Yeah.
But she still feels a certain way about him. But she admits like, I feel an attraction to you and I feel that there's something there.
Yeah.
I just, this is giving me some doubts and
but
I need to address
I would
that.
Be skeptical. I would
no,
be skeptical.
No. She's fully in her rights to be skeptical. But I don't think Colton did anything wrong by being honest.
Yeah.
Why? When's that a bad thing to do?
Especially because, like, remember, we always have people on, and this season included, who have a past history with The Bachelorette. So
it's
imagine,
probably not going to work out well for Colton in the end.
But imagine if Tia was The Bachelorette.
He'd be off the show in 2 seconds.
He'd be gone. He'd go the way of Jake and Fred and Liz.
Yeah.
Like,
he'd be gone after week one or two.
Yeah. This would have been it for him. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's probably better for him that Tia isn't the Bachelorette.
Yeah, but which is something Becca said. Like, what if he showed up knowing that Tia was gonna be it, and that's why he did it?
Yeah.
Like, what if he actually isn't?
Because you
here
know,
for me?
Until like the day of the finale, Tia was gonna be the Bachelorette.
That's what I felt, and
then,
ooh boy, curveball.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that happens, and then we get some more prime Jordan.
Oh, we get that prime cut.
So Jordan,
we get that Angus beef
is seeing
USDA
boys,
approved.
Is seeing these boys, and he's like, "Listen, these boys aren't doing the stuff the right way.
Yeah,
I got to be the top boy. So what am I gonna do? Get
it works one out of three times.
It works one out of three times, and he just does pulls
the naked man.
The naked man." Jordan literally pulls the naked.
But here's the thing.
Now, Jordan's saying, look, I'm a male model. I know what's going on.
Wait,
nothing attracts a woman more than being next to and comfortable. Nothing attracts a woman more than being close and comfortable next to a sexy man. I think that was his exact words.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to clarify something real quick. It's not a true naked man.
It isn't. No, it isn't.
It is a
bachelor naked man.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If
what if he
pulls
a real
if
naked
he pulls
man?
A real naked man, which honestly, like the coming up next on The Bachelor, all that shit, it looked
it
like
indicated
he was pulling
the real
the
naked
true
man.
Naked man. And if you're not familiar with the naked man, it's a
move
technique.
That works one out of three.
It
times.
Works one out of three times, according to How I Met Your Mother, where you just. Present yourself.
Yeah, present your package to the world.
To a woman.
Yes.
And you're essentially...
This is what I got. If that's what you got,
yeah.
Do we make him connect?
Yeah, you basically just appear butt naked to her.
And she might go, get out of here, or, all right.
Yeah, but so the promos and like the coming up next, they made it look like Jordan was going to do a true naked man, and he didn't. He had his underwear on.
He did.
And
he
also had socks on. That's important.
He never does not have socks on.
Jordan,
always wearing those sweet socks.
Jordan sensitive about feet?
He might be.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, he presents himself, and it's just like he interrupts. This is what's setting up our 2-on-1 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Interrupts David, the chicken man.
Is not Connor. Is Jordan really 2-on-1 material?
Yes, Jordan's absolutely going to be on a 2-on-1. I'm okay. calling it right now. I'll put money on it. All Jordan right. and David for a 2-on-1.
Okay.
Putting money on it right now. So Jordan gets right in David's shit, essentially. Like, steals her away. And so they kind of, like, have a conversation. And, oh, yeah, wait. He says another great line, though, as he's, like, walking down. All right, I'm naked. TikTok, let's make it rock.
Like, yeah.
Jordan, like, yeah, highly entertaining.
God, he's a weird kid.
So, okay, so he steals her away and is talking to her. And it was, look, I just wanted to show you that I'm not 007 all the time. That's how Jordan sees himself. God,
I hate him so much. He's going to be so good on BIP.
Oh, but yeah. So then David kind of like addresses it, and he's like, you were wrong and really disrespectful to me there. And he was. Like,
he was.
Kind of was being a dick.
And the thing is, if he wasn't naked, it would have been fine.
It would have been fine. It would have just been like, hey, can I steal you away? And I'm like, ah, dude. But like, no, you showed up naked. Like, you showed up fucking naked.
Almost naked.
Almost naked. But like, basically, like, everyone's like, we got a naked male model.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And I did bring this up, and Jordan even mentioned it himself. Like, this is also a show where you spend about half your time in a bathing suit. So, like,
yeah, it's not.
What is he really flaunting here?
Yeah, like, exactly. That, like, no one's seen. It was just like, this is a thing you're doing. All right.
Yeah.
You peacocked.
Yeah. Just kind of just like, okay.
So, that's basically the main things that happened at this rose ceremony. It's not rose ceremony, it's this cocktail party, and then we move to the rose ceremony.
Yep.
So the rose ceremony, and Jordan is still naked and wrapped in a blanket at this
point. Yeah, yeah.
I just want everyone to know that.
Yep.
So we'll go over who gets a rose.
Yep.
Chris R.
And who does not get a
rose. Jason, John, Clay, Mike, Connor, Leo, David, Garrett, Nick, Ryan, Kristan, Jordan, Lincoln, and Colton. Colton does get a rose.
Colton gets that rose, and so does Connor.
So does Connor. We lose Alex and two others.
We lost Ricky. And we lost Trent.
Thank you.
Yes.
I did not know who
I
they
do.
Were.
I want to pull an Alan Moss, and I want to backtrack a second to a moment that we glossed over
so much.
You do. Connor had a moment.
I find it important. Thank you. Connor did have a moment that is important.
Connor had a moment with Becca during the cocktail party.
I don't think should have absolved him as much as it did.
I don't think. I maintain honestly that Connor should have gotten sent home this week.
I absolutely agree.
I think she should have sent him home. At that group date, honestly.
I would have.
I think,
like,
Becca should have brought down the fucking
axe. What I would have said to him was, this is, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
No, get out.
Yeah.
I would have said get out.
So Connor steals Becca away, whatever, and he, like, talks to her, and he says, look, I have.
This is a photo of me at that date. That's not the guy that I usually am.
Yeah, so he has, like, a framed photo of himself from that group date, which, like, where did he get that?
Right. This was so set up.
Yeah.
This was so set up.
Yeah. And he's like, this isn't the guy that was the guy that I was that group did. This isn't the guy I want to be going forward. And he takes the picture and throws it in the pool.
Well, he has her throw it in the pool.
He has her throw it in the pool. Whatever. Go home, Connor.
There's no redeeming qualities right now for Connor for me. He, as far as I'm concerned, he's a bully and not a good person.
Yeah, Connor should. I maintain Connor should have gotten sent home. I think it wouldn't have been unfair to send Colton home, too.
No, like, no. I see the grounds for it, but I also see the grounds for keeping him.
I see the grounds for keeping him, but I also see. I think.
Colton's, like, not making it much further.
Yeah, I think we should have lost him by now. We did say goodbye to Alex, who basically did nothing.
Yeah.
Ricky, who basically did nothing, and Trent, who basically did nothing.
Yeah. So three boys who probably should have gone home because they should have.
Yeah. So we're still sort of in, we're still in the early days of this. So
you mentioned before, we haven't seen enough Ryan. I want some Ryan.
You know, we haven't seen enough of him.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him from After the Final Rose.
Clearly he's making an impression, though.
Clearly he's made enough impression to stick around. And also I maintain, you know, After the Final Rose at this point was still pretty recently.
It's definitely helped him.
He's made it, because, like, you think
so
about.
I'm sure he's. We know he's had conversations.
He's had conversations with her, and remember, he made his first impression already.
Yeah.
And I think that was a strong first impression.
Hey man, you play a banjo for a girl and play it well, and
you
sing,
play it well.
You're gonna get me a little bit smitten.
You play a banjo for me, hot damn.
Yeah, hot damn.
Yeah. So that's this episode.
That's this episode. Yeah. Then it goes right into...
So we didn't actually get a real post-credit scene.
It goes into a preview, and the post-credit scene is continuing the preview.
Yeah, so...
Which you know, we don't like to necessarily go into.
We don't like to go into.
But they're showing that, like...
I do want to talk about one thing.
We're seeing her girls.
The girls are back.
Yes.
So we do get a cutaway sort of thing. We see a setup for what I assume is a group date of Becca with with Becca the Destroyer, with Tia,
Kendall,
with my girl Kendall. Oh God, I've missed her so much. And some other people probably.
A bunch of other ones.
Who are important. But really, as soon as Kendall appeared on screen, my eyes immediately went that direction, and I saw nobody else.
Yeah. They brought the horse back. No, they didn't.
They didn't bring the horse back.
They ate it.
The horse is dead. That's been a recurring thing for us, you know? Just continually say, the horse is dead. The horse is dead. If you play all of our podcasts backwards.
It's like the Beatles. Yeah, the horse is dead. That's a very negative energy to end this episode.
God,
on.
That is. But you also see Becca sort of addresses with Tia, just like, "Hey, Colton's here."
Yeah, and we're like, "Ooh, what the hell?
Oh, drama!
Can't wait!
Can't wait for next week!" Ugh. This was like we talked about this at the beginning. This was such a good episode.
This was a great episode.
Like
of
this
television.
Is, and like I don't want to always be down on The Bachelor. But I always feel like The Bachelorette is so much more fun than The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Even though, like, because, like, just... I feel like the contestants on The Bachelor are always more fun than the contestants on The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
But The Bachelorette always the dates just seem, like, more fun.
Yeah, it's true.
The, like, the dates haven't been, like, let's just
walk
around.
Do they have different writers and producers for each show that, like... And that's just what they're better at.
I'm in the middle of a book right now about the production of the show, so I'll let you know once I'm
certain.
Thank
you.
Yeah. I am 100% reading a book about the production of the
show. I believe you. No, I know. I didn't think that was a joke.
It's called Bachelor Nation. I'm really enjoying it.
Who wrote that? Wasn't it a former contestant?
No, it was a journalist who used to cover it.
That's right. No. I remember seeing some stuff about that. Cool.
It's good.
I believe you.
So let's quickly do a little bit of housekeeping, I guess. Sort of our classic end of episode stuff.
And then a POTG.
Yes, let's do a play of the game. Fuck, I forgot.
I got your back, bro.
Thank you.
This is what we do this
time.
All
together. Right, yeah, play the music. Yeah, so, all right, yeah. Alan, what was your play of the game?
Okay. I hate him. I hate everything about him.
I swear to God, you're giving it to Jordan.
I'm absolutely giving it to Jordan.
You jag.
I'm giving it to Jordan and I want to read this again.
Okay, all right. As long as you're not giving it for the naked man.
No. I'm giving it to before you put on your socks or your pantyhose on or your shoes even, you need to put your confidence on. That is such bullshit.
It is.
And doesn't make sense.
But
it's such good advice at the same time.
And you know that Put Your Confidence On is going to be the name of this episode.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It was because I had to stop it and laugh because that was such a ridiculous thing for me to hear that another person said to another person in a serious conversation. You know, whenever you do... And he tries to explain it like you know, whenever you're putting your socks on, whenever you're putting your shoes on or your pantyhose or whatever, you got to put your confidence on.
You got to put your confidence on.
I was like, that's the broiest advice I've ever heard, but it was great.
That's a good one.
Play of the game. It was so
very
good.
Good.
It was so great.
God, what is my play of the game? Yeah, I think my play of the game is going to go to Clay.
Yeah.
For just that just beautiful smooch and just the most awkward,
so cute,
wholesome, cute setup for it.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, and he did it great.
He knew what he was doing, and it was a gamble, and it worked.
Yep.
And I'm so happy.
Love those. I love those when they're cute gambles. It's not like
it
doesn't come off as creepy. It's like we got to get close. I'm like, you know what you're saying.
You know
what
you're doing.
Going for a
Can I
smooch.
Also just give an honorary play of the game to Lil Jon?
Fuck yeah!
For making this episode fucking incredible.
Yeah. Shout out to the producers or whoever, however you got Lil Jon on this show. I want more Lil Jon
yes.
on The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise.
God, yes.
Whatever. if Wells becomes the next Chris Harrison, Lil Jon should be the bartender.
Can Lil Jon be the next Wells?
Could I have a cocktail?
Yeah.
Actually, could you make it shaken, not stirred?
What?
Shaken, not stirred.
Sorry, that was just like an old person yelling. What?
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 Let's try that again. Could I have it shaken, not stirred?
What?
Shaken, not stirred.
Okay.
Great, thanks so much.
What?
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 I don't remember drinks.
You want to take in my turd?
Oh, okay.
So let's... all right, now the housekeeping that I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
So we have our usual housekeeping, you know. Thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook. Give us that review.
We would really appreciate it. Please... the more people that can do that, the nicer it is for us to hear that stuff. Alex and I are enjoying this so much that, you know, we don't do any advertisements. We have zero, like, sponsors or anything. And we're not necessarily looking for that. But
yeah.
We just like to know that the product we're putting out is fun and people are enjoying it. So please, leave us a review. Like, rate us. Give us some sort of feedback. Like, let us know what you think.
You can do that through our new host, Anchor.
Yes.
We talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. I downloaded it. Yep. So our new host, Anchor, does allow you to send us voice memos.
Mm-hmm.
That we can actually play on the podcast.
That would be so cool.
I'd love to do that. Would be super cool if someone wants to send one in. And also, Anchor all has its own, you know, like applause feature. It serves,
which is pretty cool.
Like, it's really great.
Yeah.
So again, please subscribe, listen. I mentioned this last week. We are in the process of moving. Host, we have confirmed already. We are on iTunes. We are on Pocket Casts, which is where. We listen to podcasts, yes. Personally, the two of us. I looked into it. I'm having a little trouble getting us up on Google Play.
Okay.
If there are any other podcast services that are not SoundCloud, because we've moved away from SoundCloud, if there are any other podcast services that we are not available on, please let us know, and I'll do my best to get us on there.
We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate that, especially with our new host. We are like in this weird flux area.
We want to be able to get our product out to as many people as we can, as regularly as we can.
And I realize that saying that right now is a little redundant, because if we're not on a service that people are using, they're not going to hear this message.
Right.
I
think so many people use it through iTunes. It's fairly common that I think
iTunes,
we at least hit a larger
number. And I know Pocket Cast is pretty popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you listen to podcasts through Google Play, you haven't heard our last two episodes. Our podcast is still there, but it only has the first 10 episodes.
Yes.
So I'll post again on Facebook maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, like us on Facebook.
So for any information, or if you want to contact us as well, you can hit us up on our Twitters as well. I think that's an important thing to drop, right?
Yeah, we can. We should probably have our own Twitter account for this podcast.
I feel like we're getting to that point where we should.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
For the moment, I don't use Twitter enough. That's, I shouldn't say that, but I use it. I use it a little bit. I send out this stuff. I'm at BossMoss91, so
hit
me with them follows.
I am at OldManBeefy. Check out my last tweet. I really lightly troll the president.
Classic.
Yeah.
I think that is the thing that's going to be coming soon.
Yeah, we should set up a Twitter
Bros Before Rose Twitter account, just so we can just get it out more.
That's going to be tough when you consider that we're not the only podcast called Bros Before Rose.
I think the final Bros, though, might.
We'll discuss a brand change.
No, I'm not saying we're going to have to brand change, but I am saying that if the final Bros is there, it's good.
Yeah.
It's really good. We don't even have to change our logo enough.
Yeah, no, I just have to change some text and some stuff. We don't need to be discussing this on air.
That's true.
Peek
behind the kimono.
Peek under the kimono. All right, yeah, let's end this shit. I'm Alex Toy.
I'm Alan Moss. And this has been the most dramatic episode yet. That was pretty good. We're getting
that one,
there. That
one
was better.
Yeah,
you're doing good now that we're in person.
Now that we're
not fucking me.
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose.
It
right?
was.
It was for it was season. Then it was episode. And then we weren't in the same place. There was a lot for me to handle.
Look, all I'm saying is don't let me down more often. Like, let's get this right.
Okay, I'm doing my best.
We got what, 7 more weeks?
Discovery Channel.